me launch into our scripture reading from today. It actually comes in the Christmas story just as Mary has found out, as the story goes, that she is pregnant with the child of God. This is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliest of his servants. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength in his arm. He scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promises he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." May we all add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. And now, may we all enjoy together some music from Nancy. Really thrilled to have you here with us, Nancy Day, and looking forward to this.
I have two, Mark. I forgot how beautiful this church looks around Christmas. And it's just so amazing. And people did a great job decorating. The song I chose to do today is a familiar melody to you called "Be Thou My Vision." And when I was reading about this hymn, I saw that it was actually first entitled Blaine, and it was named after a hill in Ireland. And it was an old Celtic melody that went back to the 4th century. And then in the 6th century, an Irish, a Gaelic writer put some words to it. And then in 1906, a lady named Mary Byrne translated in English. Okay, so I thought I'd put my own spin on it for today. And maybe just do something that I thought worked here. And I call it, "I Have a Vision."
First in my heart.
for that, Nancy, as always. I always appreciate how you can take the music that we all, this is sort of the foundation of who we are as folks who grew up in the church, but then put these new words on it that make it have even deeper meaning and more contemporary understanding of who we are called to be. So thank you. Thank you for that very much. So we are entering into Advent season, and I've decided to do something a little different for Advent. What I'm going to be doing is looking at my sermons that I've written over the past two decades, and my Christmas sermons, not Advent sermons, and the ones that have either been requested by folks or that I feel like would benefit from rewriting them a bit. We're going to look at them so that we spend a little more time thinking about the Christmas story. The church, in its calendar, tends to only allow a day or two, at least in how it's practiced, to really talk about the Christmas story at all. We are open to doing it many days after it in terms of the calendar, but folks usually are ready to move on for the new year and things like that. So I decided this year that we're going to relook at some Christmas messages. Today happens to be one that have been asked to repeat, but in the future it might be ones that I feel like are really good but need a little extra attention. And we're going to look at those and try to come at Christmas from a few different angles. Today's message is entitled A Rebellious Little Christmas. For the last many years, around this time, the average American viewing public has been subjected to seemingly constant squabbling by television pundits about the war on Christmas. And to make matters worse, the point on which this war attempts to divide us, well, it's false. Completely and utterly untrue. You see, advocates for the war on Christmas want us to believe that there is only two sides. The Christian side, and then the side that everybody else is on. We'll try one more time to fix this shit. So the Christmas side, and then they want us to believe that the only other option is the side that everybody else is on. It might surprise folks to know that when it comes to the war on Christmas, I'm actually ready to enlist. This is not working, is it? Let me try one last option here. When it comes to the war on Christmas, I'm actually ready to enlist, and I know that might surprise some folks. Now, it's not for the reason that some folks might think a minister would want to join the war on Christmas. You see, I'm not on the side that by default is considered the Christian side. However, I'm also not on the non-Christian side. If anything, I'd make an argument that the dominant face of Christianity as it's seen on television and promoted through news programming is itself far from what Christianity is supposed to be about. The Christmas that we are currently offered is a sort of whitewashed, sanitized version of Christianity that every year presents an increasingly cleaned up version of the Christmas story to the viewing public. And for me, honestly, that's the beginning of the unraveling of this there are only two sides to the war on Christmas myth, a Christian side and a non-Christian side. Because you see, the child whose birth we remember this time of year was not part of the dominant culture, the way that the religion that he inadvertently started now is. The religious stories that we are told, that we were told in those days, those stories were told under the shadow of a dominant culture. They were stories of oppression and hardship, stories of overcoming unthinkable odds, stories of hope for people living in times and cultural positions that were, well, quite frankly, that were hopeless. At least they felt that way. But today, our stories are told from places and positions of power. Today, Christianity is the dominant culture. So instead of a story, a of a brown-skinned, Middle Eastern, possibly unwed, pregnant mother who was seen as little more than property, giving birth to what the world would surely see as an illegitimate child who was wrapped in what rags they could find and placed in a smelly, flea-infested feeding trough in the midst of a dark, musky-smelling animal stall. Instead of that story, we end up with a clean, white-skinned European woman giving birth to a glowing baby, wrapped in possibly white swaddling clothes and laid to rest in a manger that looked more like a crib than a trough in the midst of a barn that's more kept and clean than many of our houses. So, yes, I'm all for a war on Christmas, a war on what Christmas has become. Truthfully, I just about prefer the elimination of what our modern celebration has become to the increasingly whitewashed version that we hear every year. Which means I'm not on the side of what Christians have turned it into, nor am I on the non-Christian side. Now, when it comes to sides, I'm on Mary's side. The Christmas story has been hijacked by a dominant culture. Places of power and positions of prestige have warped to become upper sensibility of the original Christmas story. In what's become known, and we heard today, as Mary's song, Mary sings of the will of God, and we are left to believe that it is who she believes her son will become. And folks, I have to tell you, it's not a sweet, demure, and whitewashed story like ours has become. It's downright rebellious. To me, it's Mary's verbal act of flipping the tables on people who use their places of power to take advantage of others. She says, "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud and the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. And he has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." That's a vision of liberating the oppressed, the downtrodden. And it's been slowly replaced year after year with a story that no longer brings fears to the powers that be, but rather it supports their big business agendas of profit and mass consumerism. War on Christmas? Come to think of it, they're right. There really is a war on Christmas, but it is actually waged by many of the folks, the very people who think Christmas is getting squeezed out of our culture in the name of plurality. Paganism, and other religions. If the Christmas that they support wins, well, I for one would have to say that all is lost. If those claiming that there is a war on Christmas fully get what they want, I would have to say the rebellious heart of Mary's song, it's lost. So yes, there is a war on Christmas. And we, as a nation, as a society, have been supporting it. If the present day whitewashed version of the Christmas continues to be the dominant version, then I believe it will slowly smother us in a sea of privilege and perverse oblivion of the struggle of those most in need, the oppressed, the downtrodden. If the Christmas present continues to masquerade as the Christmas past, we will be left with a Christmas future where we continue to give out of our abundance rather than out of a response to need and out of love. A Christmas where we give to those all who already have abundantly, while the oppressed, the downtrodden, watch our overindulgence and rightfully judge us by actions that run contrary to our story of a child born to bring justice to all of those who are oppressed and being stepped on by the power. Hear Mary's words again. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud and the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, sent the rich away empty. See, those words occur very early in the Christmas story as we have it recorded. It's meant to set the stage for what Jesus' teachings and life were about. Given that, I believe it should change the dominant message of the Christmas narrative. A message of equality and justice. It should be a message of love and compassion. A message of lifting up the low and lowering down the haughty. So I ask you, is it? Does our modern day Christmas story bring hope to the hopeless? Does a modern day Christmas celebration bring justice to those who have been treated unjustly? Does it feel as rebellious as Mary's song? If your answer is no, then whether you knew it or not, you too believe that the Christmas past has been whitewashed by the Christmas present, putting our Christmas future at great risk. This Christmas season, as we tell the stories of Jesus' birth, let us also remember his words, "No greater love has anyone than this, that they lay down their life for their friends." And as we remember the humble, unassuming way, the story says he came into this world. Let us not forget that he left this world among thieves, as an outsider hanging on a cross in an attempt to teach us something about what the love of God looks like. A child, born in a manger, no crib for his head, sent into the world to teach us something about the value of every human soul, sent in as the least of these, born to a poor woman in a borrowed animal stall, sent to teach us that calling people the least of these says much more about us than it says about them. Sent to show us what life looks like when it starts from the assumption that all people are worthy of love. That's not just a better story than the one that's now told. It's downright rebellious. This Christmas, I wish for you and for me a rebellious little Christmas. One that encourages us to be advocates for those caught in the traps of hunger, homelessness, oppression, poverty, and war. Traps that are created by the powerful but mostly impact those who struggle. I wish for us a rebellious little Christmas that also encourages us to see that we too have difficult places in our lives. A Christmas that helps us see beyond the clean up Christmas of the present to the humble, unassuming beginnings of Christianity. A baby born to an outsider. A baby who would teach the world about love, justice, equality, and compassion. War on Christmas. A war on what Christmas has become. A war on worshiping consumerism in the sacred halls of Walmart, Target, and Best Buy while the world is swallowed up in the reality of not having enough food to eat, a place to live, clean water to drink, access to reasonable health care. Yeah, sign me up. Sign me up. Because I refuse to let the rebellious story of my faith to be co-opted by corporations who only wish to convince us that we are privileged and we do deserve what we have more than others and should revel in our abundance, even as we celebrate the birth of the child who laid in a feeding trough, who lived his life with no place to lay his head, who told us that, quote, just as you do it unto the least of these, so too you do it unto me, who gave up his very life that we might understand what true love looks like. War on Christmas, indeed. I say, let's all sign up. Bring back Mary's rebellious little Christmas. Amen. Nancy, would you favor us with yet another song? We certainly would appreciate it.
It's a great message. Thank you, Mark. I think this will fit. I've sung this song many times before, but somehow it took on a new resonance when I was in town a couple weeks ago hearing James Taylor. So I think you'll like it, and it's all about loving others. It's called Shower the People.
Section, please leave a note where you are watching from, and also don't forget to go to athinkingchurch.org Well, you can donate using the donate button at the top right-hand corner. We enter into a time in our service where I'm going to ask us all to turn a little more inward. And as always, accept this as is best for you. As a prayer, if you would like, as a meditation, if you would like, or just a moment of quietness and calmness, where you let the words speak to you as they might. Let's bow our heads. In the midst of our preparation for Christmas, we are reminded of those who find it much more difficult to find joy in the season. We're reminded of those who live in places where they struggle to find clean water to drink, food to eat, a safe place to sleep at night. We're reminded of those here in the U.S. who don't have enough food to make it through the week or even through the day. Those who don't have a roof over their head under which to sleep. Those who have had their lives turned upside down because of the loss of a job or because of illness. Those who feel like life will never be the same because of the death of a loved one. May we stay mindful of them in this holiday season. And may we seek out ever-increasing ways to share love with them. May it encourage us to re-envision what Christmas has become and to practice it more humbly with love for all of creation.